May 6, 1928. The children of the divine will shall not touch the earth. Bitternesses of Jesus. The electric wire. According to my usual way, I was all immersed in that divine fiat which, more than sun, shines in my poor soul. And my always lovable Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, my love toward the children of my will be such and so great, that I will not permit that they touch the earth. I will lay my steps under their feet so that, if they walk, they may touch my steps, not the earth, in such a way as to feel within them the life of my steps, which will communicate the life of the steps of my divine will to the steps of the children of my will. If they work, they will feel the touch of my works which, lining up, will communicate to their works the virtue of my will. If they speak, if they think, they will feel the life of my words and of my thoughts which, investing them, will communicate to their minds and words the virtue of my fiat. So, I myself will be the carrier of the children of my will. I will be very jealous that they may not touch anything, so that they may take part in nothing, and may feel my life flow continuously within them, forming the life of the eternal will in theirs. Therefore, they will be the most beautiful works of my creative hands. Oh, how the work of creation will be reflected in them! They will be the triumph of my redemption, everything shall triumph in them. Then will I be able to say, my works are complete, and I will take rest in the midst of the children of my supreme fiat. Then, after I wrote what is written in these past days, my mind was still molested by fears and doubts. It was not true that blessed Jesus had taught me so many things, but rather, they were the fruit of my imagination. And I said to myself, if it was not Jesus that spoke to me, these will be writings without life, because only when Jesus speaks does life run within his word. And as I write, the life of the truths that Jesus has told me remains in them, in such a way that those who will read them will feel the communicative virtue of a life that is being infused in them, and will feel transformed into the very life of the truth which they will read. But if it is not Jesus, these will be writings without life, empty of light and of goods. So, why make the sacrifice of writing? Now, while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior, and placing his head close to mine, with an air of sadness, told me, "My daughter, you embitter my feast. In fact, when I manifest a truth, I do it because I want to celebrate with the creature. But if she does not have full trust in me and begins to doubt, the feast is interrupted and turns into bitterness. I act like one of two intimate friends, loving his friend very much. He wants to pour what his heart contains into the heart of his friend. And as he entrusts to him his secrets and his hidden joys, he makes him aware of everything he possesses. But the friend who is listening shows he does not believe him, and doubts what his friend is telling him. This person embitters his friend and turns his outpouring into bitterness. And so, grieving, he almost regrets his entrustment, and full of bitterness, he withdraws. On the other hand, if his friend believes him, not only does he not embitter him, but he takes part in his goods. Together they celebrate the joys which his friend possesses, and their friendship is bound with double bonds of love. So I am, and even more than a friend. Loving so much the one whom I have chosen as my little secretary, I want to pour my heart out and entrust to her my secrets, my joys, my hidden sorrows, my surprising truths, to celebrate together with her and to communicate to her divine lives for as many truths as I keep manifesting to her. If I see that she believes me, I celebrate, and put out in feast the joys and the happiness that a divine life can possess, which possesses the infinity of all goods. And the soul is filled and celebrates together with me. But if I see her hesitant, I remain embittered, and she remains empty of the life which I would like to entrust to her. You often repeat these scenes of distrust to me. So, be attentive, and do not want to turn my joys into bitternesses." I remained all confused, and did not know what to answer. After this, I continued my round in the divine will, and my sweet Jesus added, My daughter, as the soul enters into my will, she puts her electric wire in it, which extends to any point at which one wants to form light. In fact, the light is not formed where the wire is put, but where it ends, concentrating the electricity of light into a light bulb. Now, as the human will enters into mine, at the reflections of the sun of my fiat it converts into light, and forms its little light, and the electricity of my will extends the wire of the human will and, more than light bulb, forms its little light at whatever point the soul would like to reach before God. And God, on seeing the little light of the human will, invests it, and with the electricity of his divine light he converts it into sun, and forms the most beautiful ornament for his divine throne. It is so beautiful and delightful to see that the soul from earth, on entering my divine will, puts her electric wire for heaven in it. And it extends so much as to reach the center of it, which is God, forming his ornament of light, and these lights convert into sun.